this month. We're going right back to Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. Matthew 1, 18 through 25. And it reads as follows. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save the people from their sins. For he shall save the people from their sins. For he shall save his people from their sins. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called. And he called his name Jesus. And he called his name Jesus. And I just want to talk to you for a moment from this thought. I just want to talk about, behold, the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. A few years ago, I was in kindergarten. And Mrs. Hazel Prescott taught us a little song entitled, Mary Had a Little Lamb. And back when I was in kindergarten, I don't know how I missed a word in that song, but I missed a word in that song. And I thought it said, Mary had a little lamb. It's feet were white as snow. But it says its fleece was white as snow. And it said, and everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go. As a child in kindergarten, I never realized that the Bible told the same story. It just did not occur to me that a young girl named Mary did indeed have a lamb. You see, I only thought of a lamb as a four-legged creature. That's all I thought of as a lamb, as having four legs. And I never thought of it from Matthew's perspective. I never looked at it that way. But this morning, I can say to you, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish thinking. What's happening in this verse in Matthew's gospel, in these verses, it seems that Joseph is engaged to a young Jewish maiden by the name of Mary. And I told you last Sunday, and for those who were not here, let me say it again, that Mary and Joseph's engagement meant that they were legally married, but they were not yet living together. And during this time, word comes to Joseph that Mary is with child. And Joseph knows that he is not the father, but he's sure that somebody is. And he believes that Mary has been unfaithful to him, and he decides that he needs to get a divorce. Now, I know what you're asking is, how can you get a divorce when you haven't had a wedding yet? And that's why I need you to stay back where we are in the scripture, as I told you last week, because when you become a spouse to someone, you actually take vows. And yet, because he loves Mary, he wants to do things that will quietly put away a lot of scandal, because the penalty for committing Mary's crime was actually death by stoning. So, however, before he can put his plan into action, you know, we all got our own way of doing things, amen? And we have our way of thinking about things. And so before he can put his plans into action, God intervenes and sends an angel to tell Joseph that things are not like you think they are. And he tells this Jewish husband that Mary is carrying a child that was miraculously fathered by the Holy Spirit of God. And he's told that this child is a special child with a special mission. And he's told that this child is going to be a savior. Joseph's reaction is to take Mary into his home and wait with her until the day the baby is born. Now, I'm not Joseph, and I was not there. But if I were Joseph in this day and age, I'd wait till this baby was born. And let's say in this church, I'd look at that baby and go through everybody in this church. (laughs) and see if that baby look like anybody in here I know. But that was not the case. What they didn't realize is that this baby who was growing in Mary's body was none other than the Lamb of God who would one day die for the sins of all men. And that's why I tell you, don't forget the baby, because this baby didn't just have a birth, but this baby had a miraculous death. Verse 25 tells us that Mary eventually delivered this child. And when she did, that the Lamb of God was born. In one of the greatest stories in all of the scripture, we learn the truth that Mary did indeed have a lamb. And it is that lamb, that the Lord Jesus Christ, that I would like to speak to you about this morning, and that I would like to take just a few moments to share some characteristics about this lamb with you today. And I pray that the Lord helps us before we leave here on this Sunday before Christmas to be able to see why Jesus and his birth was so very special. Now, I know everybody that has a child thinks that your child is special. Everybody that has a grandchild thinks your grandchild is extra special. But I want you to be able to see why this child is so special. This child was a special lamb. Somebody say a special lamb. Let me talk about the conception of this child. Jesus Christ had no human father. Now listen, some people may say, I don't know my daddy. You may not know who your biological daddy is, but I guarantee you, you got one. But Jesus had no human father. His father is God himself. And what makes the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ so fantastic is the fact that he was born of a virgin. Now, how is it that a woman can have a baby and still be declared a virgin? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, had to intervene. Somebody talk with me this morning. We all know the traditional way by which babies are conceived and brought into this world. However, the conception of Jesus was different. His mother was a virgin. Isaiah 7 and 14 says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. His birth is an essential birth to the doctrine of God's word, because without a virgin, we do not have a sinless Savior and we have no hope of salvation. Somebody ought to say, thank God for the birth. It's impossible to be saved and deny the truth that the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ took place. Look, Jesus is conduct, his behavior was special. From the day Jesus came into this world until the day he ascended back into the heaven, he was a person of some very special characteristics. Look at Jesus. Look at him this morning. His works were special. He could do stuff that other folks couldn't do. He could feed multitudes. Listen, if you gave me a few pieces of bread and you gave me a few fish, the best I'm going to give you back is a fish sandwich. That's about all you're going to get from me. But you give him a few pieces of bread and a few fish, and this man will feed a multitude. Somebody just missed your shout right there. because his works were special. This man would heal the sick, and not only heal the sick. Listen, I've done many funerals here at the Shiloh Church, and many of you have attended funerals that I have done. And the best that I can do is get up and say the best things that I can possibly say about the individual, close the casket, take them to the cemetery, and do the committal service, and come back to the church and do the repast. But this man's works were special because this is the only man that I know that could speak and raise the dead. Lazarus, come forth. That's all he had to say. Now notice something about him. He didn't just call all the dead. He had to call Lazarus by name, because had he just said, "Dead, come forth," the cemeteries would have looked like plowed ground. So he had to be careful that he didn't get all the dead up. He just called Lazarus forth. This man walked on water, and it posed no problem for him. Neither did, look, let me tell you something. When storms are raging, a couple of years ago, we had a hailstorm, and Linda was out of town somewhere. She wasn't here. She was somewhere with Ninja Warrior, and the hail was just beating our house, and it felt like it was breaking our windows in. And she calls me. She doesn't know what's going on. And Ron, when she calls me, you have your phone there, Ron. Let me have your phone just for a second. I promise you I ain't gonna turn on no pages or nothing. So Linda calls me, and when she calls me, I said, Hello? She said, Joshy, you okay? I said, yeah, I ain't never been this scared in my life. I said, It feel like the windows in this house about to shake out. Hailstorm, hail is just beating everywhere. She said, just get off the phone and get in the closet. I say, I'm in the closet. I'm all up under your clothes just in case they fall. I want your stuff to fall because it's lighter weight than my stuff. Listen. Thank you, Ron. Listen. This is how pastor has to do it. But listen, this man had unusual works and words. All he could do when a storm came up is just say, peace. Peace. Be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed. Peace, be still. Everything that he did marked him special. See this water? If you want wine, I'm gonna have to send you to Specs. Is that where y'all go? Is it Specs Rare? Because there's nothing I can do to turn this around. It's still gonna be water. I can put my finger in it, I don't care what I do, it's still gonna be water. But this man could just take this water and turn this water into wine. And somebody ought to be celebrating right now. Somebody ought to be celebrating because there's something special about his works. Listen to me. Everything he did marked him as special. However, these activities were merely proof that he was indeed who he claimed to be. Because in the book of Luke, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." His miracles, his works, they were special. His words were special. When Jesus opened his mouth, people marveled at the things he said. Even when he was only 12, Dr. Luke in 2:47 says the doctors of the law were astonished at him. And when he began his ministry, he continued to amaze the crowd that heard him speak. John in 7:46 says the officers answered, "Never a man spake like this man." And Luke says, "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son?" His miracles, his messages, they were all special. His ways were special. Even the way Jesus carried himself. Listen, set apart from all of the others around him. Now look, I know that we all come to church. I know we all saved. I know we all holy. I know we all sanctified. I know we all carry our Bibles. But can we keep it real for just a moment? Sometimes my ways will change. You just push the wrong button. I don't mean to be this way, but just every now and then I get this way. I think I told y'all this story that I went to Mercedes-Benz, and when I went to Mercedes, I'll share it again for those of you that may not know. I went and my car was under warranty, and I knew it was under warranty. And when the lady brought me the ticket, she said, "Sir, this will be," and told me how much it was going to be. I said, "Oh no, this is under warranty." She said, "Your car is not under warranty for this item." I said, "Ma'am, this car is under warranty." And she made the mistake and grabbed my arm. I said, "If you don't let go of my..." All of a sudden, watch how we can change our ways. Somebody from across the room said, "Hey, Pastor Joshua." I said, "Bless you. Bless you. Good to see you. Good to see you." Somebody said, "He's an on-time God." Talk back to me. Yes, he is. Because our ways, talk to me about our ways. Some of us can have some ways, can't we? Can't we? Listen, baby, some of y'all got some ways. Don't even talk to y'all till y'all had y'all coffee in the morning. Somebody talk back with me. Tell you something. I started learning to watch my ways. Linda has helped me to watch my ways. Listen to this. AJ, Linda wakes up in the morning, and when she wakes up in the morning, this is how she wakes up. "Good morning, Josh." This is how I wake up. "Hey." She starts talking. One morning I say, "Babe, I've told you I don't do mornings." And she said something to me that stuck with me and will stick with me for the rest of my life. She said, "You don't do mornings?" She said, "Let the Lord not give you one morning." And then come talk to me about what the rest of your day is like. I've been doing mornings ever since. Good morning. Our ways. You got to watch your ways. See, never did he stoop to the level of his enemies, but he always, always kept his Father's will and his Father's desire as the center of his focus. Nothing mattered to Jesus but pleasing the Heavenly Father. John 8:29 says, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." And we ought to be able, as I told the little children, love people, be kind to people, do the things that please them. It ain't always about what you give them. And let me share this with you, and I told you this last Sunday as we closed out. Listen, it's easy to be nice to people that go to Shiloh because y'all all dress alike, look alike, ride up on the same parking lot in your nice cars. But what about people on the street that just need a kind word? You got to watch your ways. You got to watch your ways and make sure your ways mimic your Father's ways. That it ought to be something about you. When I was a kid, Sister Parker, I'd go in a store and someone would ask me something. They may say, "Good morning," and I'd say, "Good morning, how are you doing?" And when I said, "Good morning, how are you doing?" they would say to me, "You must be Mr. Joshua's son." "Yes, how did you know? You sound exactly like your father." Sometimes I just walk and people would say, "I can tell you're Joshua. All you Joshua kids walk just alike." Well, if you're a child of the King, can I tell you something? Can I tell you something this morning? Can I tell you something this morning? All King children ought to walk like the King. King children ought to talk like the King. Listen, I got a whole lot more I want to tell you today, but I'm not going to do it today. Here's what I'm going to do. I got so much I want to preach to you today, but I'm not going to tell you everything I got. I'm going to finish this sermon at another time. But let me tell you something. I want to go back to the fact that Mary had a little lamb. And when Mary had that little lamb, the lamb was, fleece were white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. There's another part to that story that says that that lamb did what? Followed her where? One day, which was what? Against the rule. But it made the children to do what? To have a little lamb at school. Well, let me tell you something, baby, and let me see if I can wrap this thing up for you. I'm gonna try to bring this home for you. Listen, we were better off, even though it was against the rule to have the lamb at school, they still had it at school. Well, now it's against the rule to have the lamb at school, but we need to get the lamb back in school. When we had the lamb in school, we didn't have murders like we do. When we had the lamb in school, we didn't have as many pregnancies as we have. When we had the lamb in school, we didn't have as much disrespect as we have. We need to behold the Lamb of God. And we as a church need to start glorifying the Lamb everywhere we go. Whether it's at school, at the grocery store, at church, wherever we go, we need to tell somebody, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." We need to tell somebody that the Lamb died on the cross, that the Lamb got up early Sunday morning, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Is there anybody in the house just glad to be in the presence of the Lamb this morning? Somebody give God praise in here. Somebody give him praise this morning. Behold the Lamb of God. 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 There's power, 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 power. Woo! Just something about the name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. No, do yourself a favor and just call him out. Call out the name Jesus. Call Jesus. Call him like you mean it. Call him like you don't care. Call him like you're not bothered. If you disturb your neighbor, call him Jesus. Call him Jesus. Call him Emmanuel. Call him the bright and morning star. Call him the lily of the valley. He's all right. He's all right. Yes, he is. 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 Yes, sir. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He died for our sins. He died that we may not have to spend eternity in hell. But I guarantee you this. You're going to one place or the other. And you might as well get ready. They don't ask you this in restaurants anymore. But I'm getting ready to ask you. Some of you may not catch it till you get home. Imagine you just walked in the restaurant after death, and I'm getting ready to ask you a question, and it's left up to you to answer me back. I'm getting ready to seat you, and here's my question. Smoking or non-smoking?
Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise.